Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Unfortunately, it's a bit cold and rainy out, but welcome nonetheless to our service this morning. If you are visiting with us, please sign the guest book at the front of the church and also join us downstairs after our service for some refreshments. Just a note about the bulletin, there's a number of announcements. Please go through them at your leisure, not during the service, I've been told. But when you have a few moments, please go through the bulletin and familiarize yourself with what's happening. And also just a note about the decorations in the church, specifically the green poles at the end of the pews. They're not handles. They're not to be shaken or moved or used to steady yourself. So just a note about that, because I think we had a bit of an accident this morning already. So please be mindful of those as you're walking through the sanctuary. All creation holds its breath. The time is almost here. The heavenly choir of angels waits for its cue to sing. Excitement is all around us. Prepare your hearts. The grace of God to take on human form. Good news, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us. We gather here today to make our hearts ready for the coming of our Lord and Savior, our hope. It's going to be reading from Luke chapter 1. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Congratulations, favored lady, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be frightened, Mary," the angel told her, "for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Very soon now, you will become pregnant and have a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He shall be very great and shall be called the Son of God, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his ancestor David."
Lord, we stand before you, you who are forever, beginning now and forevermore. We're in your presence this hour, Lord. We commit it to you. Amen.
The scripture reading is Jeremiah 33:14 through 16. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at the time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness."
The season of Advent is an invitation to meditate on the promises of God. Here's what the prophet Jeremiah sees. A righteous leader will spring up, one who will carry out justice and righteousness, and one who brings salvation and safety for the people.
How then do we live as those who believe that the promises of God will be fulfilled? As those who lift up their souls to God, as those who walk a path of love and faithfulness, as those who work for justice and righteousness, as those who live in the light of hope?
If we are alert to the promise of the Lord and live in the light of hope, we will be truly blessed as Christ comes again into our lives.
Please join us in our responsive reading. "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I have made.
To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. In you, O God, we trust.
The one who is coming will show us the path of steadfast love and faithfulness.
Teach us your ways, O God, for salvation. We light this candle in the sure hope.
We live in the light of hope.
As we await the coming of the Lord.
I just want to make a special announcement. First of all, I want to welcome Pastor Keith and Annette's family. And they're here today because it is Pastor Keith's third anniversary with us today. It's today, right? Or yesterday? the 1st of December. So just let's give Pastor Keith and his family a hand. Thank you for coming. And God bless you, Keith and Annette.
Thank you, Tammy. That's a bit of a surprise. Well, it's not a surprise, it's a surprise announcement.
Well, hello. You got a lot of help here today, haven't you? A lot of people that are sitting there. Now, what was the surprise when you came in this morning? Anything special? You do have your eyes open. Yeah. And you didn't see anything. There's no surprise, nothing that's special. The hope candle was lit. What else was special when you came in this morning? There was a Christmas tree, that's right. Are you? How many days left?
25.
Nope. 23. Well, we're going to talk about the Christmas tree. Why do you think we put the Christmas tree up? At any place? Well, there are many stories about why they have Christmas trees. And you haven't heard any stories. Well, you know what? At school today, they don't teach you much of that kind of thing, do they?
No.
When I was teaching, we taught all about Christmas every single year. But since that, things have changed. But anyway, we've got a Christmas tree. Now, I've heard a story a long time ago about a Christmas tree and how the trees reach up to heaven to worship God. But about 500 years ago, a man by the name of Martin Luther was one of the first to introduce Christmas trees into the Christian faith. And what do we have at the top of our Christmas tree? Yes, a star. Why do we have a star, do you think? What do you know about stars and Christmas? Anything? You know anything about stars and Christmas? Pardon? For Jesus, when the star came and the star was over the place where Jesus was born, yes, there was a star. That's right. It's supposed to remind us about that. And another thing that makes the Christmas tree pretty for us, what is that? Anything else?
Decorations.
Decorations.
They're also called ornaments.
Yes, they are called ornaments too. But there's also something special that's there that makes the Christmas tree look really bright. What's that?
Lights.
The lights. And that's one of the things that they say that was introduced by Martin Luther to Christmas trees was lights. But you know what? They didn't look like that. They looked like small versions of that. They were lit candles. Can you imagine in your house if they had lit candles on your Christmas tree? What? Why wouldn't you like it much, Thomas?
Your tree might go under the tree.
Yes, they're dangerous, aren't they? And so I guess they were happy when somebody discovered electricity and invented electric lights. But the lights that they were put on the tree, they said that was to remind us of a verse in John. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." And you know what? When you have the light of Jesus, you can light up other people's lives and they'll know who Jesus is if you tell them. And you'll do kind things for them because you know who Jesus is. So let's pray before we go downstairs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, and we thank you, Lord, that he is the light of the world. We pray, Lord, that as we look at Christmas trees this year, we will try to remember that that light is the light of Jesus and that we will try to light up other people's lives because we know him. We do ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all your blessings upon us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and offerings. Bless them, we pray, multiply them in our hands. May we use them diligently for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Let us just be still for a moment in God's presence. As we enter into the season of Advent, where we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us, to die on the cross for us, that we may be made holy in God's sight. So as we prepare for this season, let us begin to prepare our hearts. Let us rid ourselves of sin, thoughts, and attitudes that will prevent God from blessing us. Let us resolve to live holy lives, for we cannot receive. We cannot receive lest we live holy lives. Father God, in this time of Christmas, there will be many families who are traveling to meet loved ones in different parts of the world, different parts of the country. Lord, and we pray your blessing now on anybody who is traveling. Lord, we pray for traveling mercies, Lord, that they may arrive safely and return home safely. Lord, at this time also we are remembered, while it's a time for families and gatherings, there are many who will be alone at this time. There are many who will be alone for the first time this Christmas. So our hearts go out to them and our prayers go up to you, Lord, for comfort. For the widow, for the widower, for those who have lost a loved one this year. Lord, we pray that there will be friends and other members of family who will be around them and gather around them at this time to bring them comfort. Lord, we lift up to you our dear sisters Nora and Barb, Lord. Nora Curran, who's having hip surgery at South Lake, Lord, we pray for peace in her heart as she's some confused about where she is. And we pray for our husband Dave, who is beside her at this time. And Lord, we pray for our dear sister Barb and her family, for Jenny and the children. Lord, we pray your blessing upon them for peace and comfort. And also, Lord, we pray boldly for healing. Lord, we know that you are the God who heals. So we pray your blessing upon Nora and Barb today, that your touch, your word will go out to bring them healing. Lord, during this time where we sing of peace on earth, Lord, we know that there is no peace on earth. Lord, we pray for peace in the Middle East. Lord, we pray for an end to this violence and bloodshed that's going on, where thousands of lives are being lost, homes are being lost, families are torn apart. Lord, it's hard for us to imagine because we live in such a peaceful land, for which we give you thanks. But Lord, we pray that leaders of peace will come forward out of this conflict that goes on in the Middle East, and that these people can learn to live side by side. Lord, we pray for our church family in this season. Lord, may we be united in spirit and love. When we gather, may we gather with one voice and one heart to give you praise and worship. Now, in the quietness of this place in your hearts, give to God what's on your heart. Father God, you hear the prayers of our hearts, the unspoken prayers. You also know the trouble, the stress, the turmoil that goes on in an individual's heart, the worries and the concerns. Lord, the angel said that there would be peace on earth and goodwill towards all humans. Lord, I pray for peace in our hearts and in our homes at this season. May there be joy, may there be laughter, may there be love given and received. May we share kind words with one another. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, for we pray it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We're now in the season of Advent, which is the beginning of the church calendar. So we're actually in a new year in the church's cycle, beginning with this season of Advent. A little bit of a word study this morning. The word Advent, the English word Advent, comes from the Latin word Adventus, which is translated from the Greek word parousia, which means the coming or the appearance or presence. In the New Testament, when this word parousia is used, it's used in reference to Christ's second coming, his appearing, his reappearing. And as we enter this time of Advent, it's a time of preparation for Christ's coming, we tend to focus on the birth of Christ because that's what Christmas is about. Christ's birth as a human baby, God incarnate, incarnate meaning in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. There's a strong sense in that hymn of not just the original coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as a baby, but also the coming, the real coming of the presence of Christ in us and among us, and also it looks forward to that time when Christ will come again. So even as we look today at this brightly lit Christmas tree, it's interesting that Peggy had to practically pull it out of the children, that this is new, this is different from last week, but she did eventually. But we look at the Christmas tree and we're going to spend the days ahead in preparation for that time of great celebration, great joy. But if you look at the tree, you can see that the tree is obscuring something. Particularly you on this side of the church can see that the tree is obscuring something from our view. Because just behind that tree is a cross. And while the message of the baby boy in the manger must not be lost, because that is the truth of Scripture. It's a fulfillment of Scripture, as we were studying in our Sunday school class this morning, of that fulfillment of prophecy of Jesus' birth. And we will continue to celebrate it as the birth of Christ. But let's keep in view why he came. Let's keep in view the cross, slightly out of view, because of the Christmas tree and the bright lights. Because after the birth, there came a cross, and following the cross there was a resurrection and an ascension. And today we live between these two great events in human history: the birth, life, death, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And we live between that great event and the next great event in human history, which is his second event, his parousia, his reappearing among us. So during the season of Advent, while we prepare for the celebration of Christmas and all the traditions around that and all the joy that comes with that, we need to take time to contemplate Christ's return, his imminent return, at any time. At any time. He could be here before Christmas. He could be here before we get to the benediction at the end of this service. Christ's return is imminent at any time. He does not need to give advance notice. So we're going to keep our eye on Christmas, but we're going to look past Christmas to this next great event. And this next great advent of his coming, this parousia of Christ's reappearing, will not look like the first. In the first time Jesus came, he came as a little baby, and we know that story oh so well. Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He completed all that God gave him to do while he was here on earth, and we're in that in-between time. So I've chosen for our text today Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and they begin the conversation talking about how beautiful the temple building is and how it was wonderfully adorned with beautiful stones. Jesus somewhat abruptly tells them that this is all temporary. It will all be leveled. And he goes on to tell of the destruction of Jerusalem and the time of seeing it surrounded by armies. And they ask, when will this happen? And Jesus explains, not the date, because nobody knows that date. As Matthew 24:36 says, nobody knows, not even the angels, not even the Son. Only God the Father knows that date. Jesus explains the sign of the times. And we know that the leveling of the temple and of all of Jerusalem took place in 70 AD. But Jesus in his discourse is looking even beyond that. And he's looking beyond that event to a still future time. So we're in Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. In answer to that question, when will this be? There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. God's word to us today. This question is one of the most common questions, I believe, of our day. When will it all end? If Jesus is coming back, when will it happen? Recent years, there's been a flurry of media coverage when the movie 2012 was released in 2009, portraying events that might occur on December the 21st, 2012. Well, here we are, just 2 weeks away. Well, 3 weeks away then. if you need extra time. And the predictions, the predictors and the prognosticators all chimed in on the end of the world dates and scenarios. It happens, it comes around every so often, right? End of the world scenarios coming up. It seems to be a phenomenon of our time, all this excitement and talk. But it's not just of our time, because the disciples asked the same question. The disciples said, well, when is it going to happen? But Jesus tells them clearly, as I've said in Matthew 24:36, no one knows. No one knows the date. So we should stop speculating. But he does say it will be sudden, and he does say there will be no warning. And Paul is talking about this to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And a thief in the night doesn't announce his arrival. In and he's out and it's done. Jesus told his disciples he would come again in John 14. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Very specifically, he told him he's going away, but he's coming back. He's coming back for his disciples, for those who have faithfully followed him. He's coming back. Count yourself in that number. This is a season of great joy, because the Lord is coming back for you. At Jesus' ascension, witnessed by his disciples, they saw him leave the earth in bodily form. Jesus had just given them the instruction to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1, 9-11, we read this. After he said this, speaking to the disciples, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back. Clearly, this message here in Acts is not a metaphor for anything. Jesus will actually return to earth in the same way as he went up. He'll come back down. This event will be seen. Luke 21:27 says, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Who will see him? Revelation 1:7 says, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye will see him come back. Even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. Oh yes, there will be great mourning when he reappears for those who have denied his existence, denied his presence, rejected his teaching, and rejected his salvation. Will it be an obvious reappearing? Matthew 24 says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Very visible, not hidden. Again in Thessalonians, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. He's coming back. Coming back for his faithful ones. In 2 Peter, again, this idea, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Everything we treasure here is going to be gone. Any material things we treasure here are gone. They're burnt up. Jesus has come back. It's over. How will I know it's Jesus? There's a good question. How will I know it's Jesus when he comes back? Because there will be deceptions. Matthew 24 again. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if it were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Here's the problem. Sometimes when we're waiting for something and we're waiting a long time, we can get distracted. I know sometimes in my business travel, I'd end up sitting in an airport for a long time to wait to catch a flight. And you wander around the bookstore or something like that, and time goes by. And suddenly the time is upon you. You're in danger of missing your flight. And people do. Because they're distracted. They haven't kept their eye on the fact that this event is coming. They allow themselves to be distracted. See, if you're not careful, this time can be missed. Matthew 24, again, watch therefore, for you do not know at what hour your Lord is coming. In our text today, it says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. He's coming back. Verse after verse, book after book of Scripture prophesies it and foretells it. He's coming back. While we prepare for Christmas, we're going about our decorating our homes, putting up lights, going to gatherings, and we dress up ourselves in festive clothing. It's all good stuff. Time to celebrate. Wonderful. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. Celebrate family. Celebrate friends. Enjoy. A great season. But also in this season, prepare. Prepare for Christ's return. How should we prepare? What should our lives look like while we're waiting for Christ's return? Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Actually, we went through a little bit of that in our Bible study this morning in prophecy. Man has no excuse. The revelation of God is complete. From creation itself, to scriptures, to the commandments, to the church, to the lives of Christians. God's making it very clear. Scripture tells us, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. This is how we are to prepare. Live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, because we're in the in-between age between his first advent and his second advent. So in this season of celebration and putting up trees and lights and giving and receiving of gifts, the scripture cautions us to be careful. It cautions us to watch that we are not deceived. It tells us to be always on the watch. It tells us to say no to ungodliness to avoid worldly passions, to be self-controlled, to live upright, godly lives, so that when he appears, we can stand in his presence. So I call on you today to look, by all means look at the tree and behold the tree as a sign of our, symbol of our Christmas season, but look beyond the tree and see the cross. And look beyond the cross and see him coming again in great power and great glory. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that we will not be distracted, we will not be deceived, that we will learn to live. Give us grace to live godly, upright, righteous lives. Lord, we give thanks and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, Lord, but we give thanks and we celebrate his coming again. For that day of our redemption is drawing near each and every day. Lord, bless us by your Holy Spirit to be a light to the world, to remind the world of their need to repentance and to pay attention to that baby in a manger. While we're waiting for that day, God's given us those commands to follow. But he gave the church very specific commands. The first, of course, is to go and make disciples. We're going to be asked about that when he returns. How many did you make? That was my command to you as a church, to make disciples. How many have you made? This is the one that should have our priority. Jesus also commanded us to do something else while we await his return. He commanded that all his followers partake in the bread and the cup of communion as a memorial. We share this ceremony with Christians all around the world. As we prepare for our time of communion, I'm going to ask the praise team to lead us now into our time of communion together. We're gathering this morning as we do each month, and we gather with Christians all over the world who have taken up this memorial as a time of celebration. We celebrate the life of Christ, the death of Christ, but we're also celebrating his imminent return. He's coming back. And that's a point for celebration for us Christians, that he's coming back for us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you're putting your hope and your trust in him as Lord and Savior, then come to this table today. Come in celebration. If you are not yet at that place, if you have not yet put your full trust and hope in Jesus Christ, I would ask you that you just observe and not partake. Scripture warns us that if we partake unworthily, we bring condemnation on ourselves. And so that all of us can be worthy to come to this table, let's take a few moments to examine ourselves and make confession to God before we come to the table. Let's take a few moments in the quietness of your heart to make whatever confession you need to God. Father God, you've heard our confession in our hearts, Lord, and we thank you that you're a God who is quick to forgive, slow to anger, but quick to forgive. We give you thanks in Jesus' name, amen. Can I have the service come forward, please? all who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who have love and concern for your neighbors, who intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, walking in his holy ways, draw near with reverence and faith, and take the supper of the Lord to your comfort. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus was at supper with his disciples. And at the end of the supper, he took the bread and he broke it. And he offered it to his disciples and he said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you." Let us eat this bread together in remembrance that Christ died for us. After supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you remember me." Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for the forgiveness of sins." Let us drink this cup together and be thankful. Christmas is a wonderful story, and it's one we should tell people about the true meaning of Christmas, the birth of Jesus our Savior. But also we should tell people that he's coming back, and we should be celebrating that and telling the world that Jesus is coming back. May I just remind you that the Hilltop Ringers are playing at York Minster Park Baptist Church this afternoon at 4:30 at the Carol Fest. And if you want to come to the Joy Luncheon, you need to be talking to Peggy Prophet this morning. And the Lions Club is having its 8th annual festive holiday dinner in the Huron Heights School Cafeteria. This is part of Aaron Brown's social justice class. So please take note of those things in the bulletin, please. As you go from this place today, go knowing that Christ came to redeem you, but go telling people that he's coming again to redeem those who are his disciples. Go in peace today in the joy of this season of celebration. Amen.